The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. And it's open line between now and one. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Note in from Ron, who said, how can it take 9 months to build a bridge? This was the minister talking a couple of days ago about the Santon Steam Railway Bridge and the problems with the road there. Ron just said, wouldn't it be better if the DOI did fewer things at once, but just more quickly? And as to the airport, we now have this phone system for parking. I gather now they're putting in ANPR. What was wrong with the paper tickets and the cash and card pay system and then exit? How much is being paid to the phone operating company? At the moment, we don't know, Ron. We don't know with this app system that's at the airport. Presumably we'll find out. We don't know what the split is, how much we get, how much they get, this Ringo app for the airport. What was wrong with the other system before? There was a problem sometimes when the barrier stuck, because obviously then you get lots of people sitting in there and somebody had to come out and either move the barrier or take it off its hinges or do something. And then, of course, they found out, I think it was during COVID, didn't they, that we had an indoor barrier. It wasn't actually an outdoor barrier. So maybe that was the problem. However, somebody did suggest once upon a time, why don't you just pay somebody to be there or give somebody the job as a self-employed position, and whatever they take, they keep. Then at least you'll have somebody there all the time. It's a thought, isn't it? Peter's first with us today on Man in Line. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Mercott here. Just a little bit more in the saga of the Bishop's Folk.
Yeah.
Full marks for Ingenuity. Yesterday, what happened was that an amendment was successfully moved, which would deal with the appointed day for legislation. They usually have something in legislation to say when it would come into force. I don't think it's obligatory, but it's customary to have it there. And so they moved an amendment whereby the legislation will come into force either 5 years after it received the royal assent, or when the present bishop ceases to be bishop of the Isle of Man, whichever be the sooner. And so if the present bishop, for example, ceased to be bishop of the Isle of Man in 3.5 years' time, then that's when the law would come into force. If she stays up to 5 years or more, when the 5 years are up, she would then lose her vote.
I got a message in from a lady called Corinne, Peter, which I'll read out. And she just says, Andy, nobody flagged this up at the last election. This was in nobody's manifesto. This is our constitution. Nobody asked us if we wanted the bishop to lose their vote. They're playing with our constitution and history. What do you think?
I think that's an excellent comment, because if you're going to make what could be a substantial change, especially a constitutional change, I think you should put it in a manifesto. Now, if nobody put it in their manifesto, they haven't got a public mandate to do this. It isn't enough to say that they had a consultation, because the consultation is not the same as a public mandate. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point. They had no mandate to do it. They should have left well alone. And the biggest point that I've kept on making is it has wasted an inordinate amount of time really just talking on a subject which isn't a problem, as I've demonstrated, and has been not only myself, but the report that they brought before the Legislative Council made it quite clear that the bishop's place actually has been helpful to the elected representatives of the House of Keys. And as I pointed out in a previous call, if they go ahead with this, they're going to reduce the number of members, voting members, to even numbers. So you're going to have far more ties than happens at the present, which they're quite rare, I'd have thought, at present. And in those cases, by the customary procedure for the president of Tynwald, he will put his vote to resolve it against whatever measures being moved. So quite a lot of legal changes will just fall simply because you've got a tie. What will happen now is that this amendment has to go back to the House of Keys for its approval. LegCo can't actually put amendments in and then the bill goes to Royal Assent. So there's another stage yet. And the interesting question is, what happens if the Keys do not agree with it? Then they would have to have a conference between the two houses to see if they could resolve the matter. Now, I don't think it's one where you could, unless they decide to compromise and come up with different years, you know. But if they can't reach a resolution, then under the Constitution Act of 2006, the bill will go into abeyance for a 12-month period, in which actually they don't count, if I my memory serves me right, they don't count July, August, September in the calculations. So whether that means it's in effect a 15-month period, in any event, it would then go into abeyance until quite well into the next parliament. And of course, we don't know who's going to be elected to the next parliament. Then what would happen is that the bill, there could be a resolution moved that the bill goes forward to Tynwald for signature, but it requires a two-thirds majority, 17 votes in effect. Now, on the present arithmetic, when the bill was leaving the House of Keys, I think there were 14 in favour. Therefore, if the same thing were to happen, the bill would then fall if they couldn't muster 17 votes in favour of it going to signature in Tynwald. But even then, we don't know who's going to get in at the next election. I mean, you might get a very differently constituted parliament. It's all that I can say is the matter has not been resolved yet.
Okay. We appreciate that, yeah. Peter. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Good to hear from
bye-bye.
You. Okay. I've just received a form, says 501, about the MyCard ending and saying that I must open a bank account. I have no wish to have a bank account. The government hasn't offered an alternative. The minister said there was going to be an alternative. And David's with us now. Hello, David. Oh, David's disappeared. We'll find David in just a few moments' time. And here he is. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. I got cut off there. I thought I was left in a biz. Isn't the problem here is one member from Ramsey, Mr. Hooper, and I've got to thank Peter Murcott over the public airwaves in saying that's the same issue that we have with the local government amendment bill. And I do hope it goes back to the House of Keys and the House of Keys realise that all the local authorities, not one of them, supported it. So I hope the same thing happens. And like Peter's just said there, you didn't need a majority to approve stuff. And as regard the bishop, the king is the lord of man, whether we like it or not, but that's fine as far as I'm concerned. Would he sign something? Or has it ever been that he's never signed something, that laws which are, when they look at it, and they have big lawyers in the UK, don't they? They look at all sorts of things. Was it done right? Was everybody consulted on it? Was it in somebody's manifesto? And the answer to most of the things are no. It wasn't consulted with the population who they're supposed to look after, aren't we?
Well, nobody, I can't remember. I mean, I've been doing this show for just on and off since 1998. I can't remember anybody phoning in and saying, the bishop must go. The bishop's rubbish. I don't like that. Nobody's ever said that. There's never been a public groundswell of comment against the bishop having a vote.
No. And the other thing is, too, they've proven in the report, and it's Crane, Mr. Crane, who's an MLC there, has done the research on that, that the bishop's never harmed the Keys or never harmed the he lives or she lives on the Isle of Man. They've never done that. And they've never, in my time too, they've never preached down your throat or put religion directly at you all the time. But I wanted to make the other comments too today, because you had a thing report about the hospital there.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hooper, again, the Ramsey member, said something should have been done years ago. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't he a minister?
He was.
So what did he do? I know he's not minister now, but what is he doing to help the situation? This is what I can't understand with some of the politicians we've got at the minute. And a few of them are ministers, and he was a minister. And the same thing with the airport and the minister for DOI. Regarding it's clear as day, isn't it, when all this information comes out and speculation, it's down to an employment issue. So why aren't we going to arbitration, put it to somebody that's neutral, and they put the case up, and the employer, which is whether it's the DOI, it's central government anyway, is, and we have an arbitration done on this, and we get the planes flying in at the right times. I'm sure that EasyJet, when the pilot's thinking they're taking off and he's got a load of passengers, he doesn't ring up Ronald's way and say, are you on a tea break, or you, is it okay if I fly the plane over? It'll be over in 20 minutes and landed. Andy, I fear for the island, and I'm Manx, and I'm born and bred here. I'm not going anywhere else. I just want to make sure that we make the right decisions next year.
I know things always look better looking back, but I can't ever remember a situation. I mean, the airport never used to have these problems, did it? We never had this sort of issue before.
No, but that's because you had Bernard Moffat. I hope he's listening in Peel. he was in the TNG, the Transport General Workers Union, that came Unite. But are the unions strong enough? And I'm an ex-union member. And I say, are we not? Is the union not pulling their weight? And we'll wait to see what people comment.
Okay.
But I just felt like Peter Murcott, too, he's great. I must meet him sometime, and I'll give him the challenge to do with the Local Government Act. Okay. Because he's got some issues there which we could use ourselves, that all the local authorities would actually send him a Christmas card. All right?
Thanks for calling. Cheers. It's bye. 19 bye. Minutes past 12. Despite being strenuously criticised in an airport pay dispute, the infrastructure minister remains positive about the ability to reach an agreement. It comes after MHK's queued up to fire questions at the government about how well the airport is being run. Are they right to do so? Well, here's Michelle Haywood, MHK, the Minister.
My understanding is those negotiations are going well. I'm anticipating that the unions will be talking to their members this week about the offer that's currently on the table, and subject to that being accepted, then we'll be moving forward fairly quickly and getting that training reinstated.
Well, you mentioned the unions there. The Trade Union Council has posted a statement on social media calling on government to take responsibility. They talk about a refusal to answer basic questions. They talk about what's happening at the airport as being more than an industrial dispute. They've described it as a crisis of leadership, trust and respect.
I haven't really refused to answer questions other than to explain that a minister in a department is not the person who's appointing managers and is not involved down at that level. I should not be sat in a room negotiating with unions. That's the Public Service Commission should be in there, and OHR are there, and you know, the sort of senior manager at the airport, the right people should be in the room doing that, and it's not a politician. So it's not that I refuse it. I refuse to give them the answer that they wanted, which was, yes, I'll go and sit in negotiations, and I should not be sat in negotiations about terms and conditions with the unions. That's absolutely not happening. The situation down at the airport, I think, is difficult. There are some people who have left, and they've left for workforce related reasons. They have grievances against the airport. Some of them don't like the direction of travel, but I am really satisfied. I met with the airport senior management. I am absolutely satisfied that we're meeting the regulatory requirements, other than for those bits that have been flagged up where we know that there's a gap. And pretty much all of those requirements are probably going to take us a while to address, but they are they're management related rather than safety critical.
Well, any thoughts on this? I can't remember a situation like this at the airport before, and this is affecting flights to the Isle of Man, because aviation is quite a small business. People talk to people, and if they know that there's an issue with late flights coming into the Isle of Man, bearing in mind an aeroplane only ever, particularly a commercial one, only ever makes money when it's in the air. You lose money when you're on the ground. So if an airline knows full well it's going to be, you know, a pitch and toss if a plane can actually get into Ronaldsfield last thing at night, they're going to look the other way. And that will affect us. We used to have at least perhaps double the destinations that we have now in years gone by. Times have changed, I understand, and there was COVID. David offers an opinion. David said, in my opinion, I think most of the problems we're suffering at the airport can be traced back to the previous airport director, Mrs. Reynolds. I thought, and this is David's opinion, I thought she left a complete mess behind, in my opinion, and didn't she take over at the ports? So who was the person who negotiated the Liverpool landing stage? Perhaps it's time for Mrs. Reynolds to be brought before a Tynwald committee just to see what she thinks about it all. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. That's strange how you're talking about the Ports Authority and the Anne Reynolds saga when she was down at the airport, and I know what it was like down there. And it seemed to be that the Douglas Port in particular, which is the vital one, had fell into a similar position where it was functioning but only just. And that's that's the reason why I came on, actually. I'm looking at a website here that's one that people can use openly. It's called Vessel Finder. And I'm just curious where the Manxman was with their sailings. And I spotted in Heysham, do you remember the dredger that came in here on an emergency and was doing Douglas Harbour when the Manxman grounded?
Yeah.
The Norma 2. She's in Heysham at the moment, dredging. And when this saga happened down in Douglas and the Norma 2 had to come in, the chap said it's going, I was talking to him, being a nosy individual, one of the bosses, and he said, oh, this is something we can do here now, but we do need, or it will need, a major dredging. And because he said we will put in a tender for it. But we've not heard one tweet, one word as to what anything's going on. And the number of times that we're hearing now that there's insufficient tide for the Manxman to get in and, you know, perform its duties of a daily or a double daily sailing.
And that's when, I mean, people quite wrongly then blame the steam packet. It's nothing to do with the steam packet. It's the harbour that needs to get it dredged properly so that there's enough water for the Manxman to come in.
Yep, exactly. The Manxman is just has a slightly smaller draft than what the Ben McCree, but she'd be carrying a larger cargo, a lot more people, cars and freight. So the dredging of the harbour is needed. And it's going to be, imagine, and I didn't know this myself, and it was through your program that I found out, that the high and low tides, I thought they were what we term as spring tides, they occur fortnightly. So it's not something that's going to go away. And it's about time that they stop talking about getting rid of the Bishop's Boat and other stupid things that are destroying the government and the living conditions on the island and get some sensible work done in both the airport and Douglas Harbour, two vital entry and exit points on an island. And that, as I say, the Norma 2 is in there now and working. I'm just looking at it. She's dredging. Douglas Harbour, happened to be physically dredged by either a bucket dredger or some means. But I should imagine that Heysham Harbour is silt, which will be a lot easier to handle, and the Norma 2 is more than capable of doing it. But we've not heard a peep from the port authorities, Michelle Haywood or anybody, as to when this is likely to happen. Not even the steam packet, which is not really their place to say. But they must be suffering, and they're suffering the consequences of a failed dredging operation. And she admitted herself it hadn't been dredged for, 5 years? Disgraceful for an operating port. So it's just something I spotted here now, and I can see it in front of me, Norma 2, an hour ago. So she's still there working. When are they going to do the Douglas port, and when are they going to get their act together instead of sitting around twiddling their thumbs, filibustering in there about the bishop?
Okay. All right. Howard, thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
27 minutes past 12. Gaz on 313. Andy, we pay the UK for defence. Quite right, we do. So why doesn't the government invite the UK Army engineers to train here by rebuilding the Santon Road Bridge? We could, I suppose. 9 months, Michelle Haywood said. 9 months to do that road. It's obviously a vital road, and it's obviously a very important bridge. And I think Howard was saying yesterday, it hasn't been done for 50 years or so. But crikey. Paul, Tony was right yesterday. The DOI is too big, but there's no chance of splitting it up, as they've got lots of equipment to amalgamate all the departments. So it would cost multi-millions to kit all the different departments. It's a mess, I'm afraid. Well, everybody, lots of more politicians have talked in the past about splitting the DOI up until you actually come to do it. And then it's not quite as easy as you think, first thing. To the answer phone we go.
Hi Andy, it's Kevin from Ballasalla here. I'm phoning in about the government doing away with tax discs on cars. This is absolutely madness. The UK government in year one lost £93 million. Can we on the Isle of Man afford that? Which MHK authorised this? It's absolutely madness. Giving criminals a chance to get away with free tax. I'm just dumbfounded. Thank you very much. Bye.
In the House of Keys, Michelle Haywood faced questions from Aubrey Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse. She confirmed there's no date for the change as of yet, i.e. getting rid of paper tax discs. She said it's being considered. The department hasn't been drawn into any formal plans to do away with them yet. Department's reviewing the requirement for paper tax discs, but at this time there's no established time frame for the development or removal of paper tax discs. Now, the UK scrapped its paper tax disc system in 2014. That's why everybody, if you drive a Manx car in the UK, takes great pleasure in looking at your tax disc. On the Isle of Man, of course, you can look up a car and its tax status via the vehicle licensing system. It's available publicly, so tax information stored online in a government database already. In fact, I've just checked my car tax. All you need to do is go to services.gov.im/service/vehicle-search. But if you go to online services and go to the basic vehicle search, put in any Manx registration number and you can see whether it's taxed or not. It's fascinating.
As the hot air balloon lifted off, Ellie's financial future rose too. Secure, steady and full of possibility. Thanks to Skipton Guernsey and their fixed 4.1% AER saving rate until September the 1st, 2026 on deposits of £10,000 or more. Let your money soar with confidence. Join Ellie and secure your rate today at Skipton.
For details on Skipton savings products, call 01 1481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. No withdrawals allowed until maturity. Interest paid annually and upon maturity. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P, petrol and diesel. O, oil. W, water. D, damage. E, electrics. R, rubber. S, self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
Oh, blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner. Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire. Kindling and firelighters all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
28 minutes now before one. It was great listening to the next generation on Man in Line last Thursday. We were at Ramsey Grammar School. They were all in favour of green energy, wind turbines, solar and what have you. Residents at Eerie Stain are understandably upset as it affects their view, but that's a small price to pay to safeguard our children's future, which is what really matters, says John Ramsey. There's mention of ANPR for various matters, including airport parking. This won't work, says Stephen Onker. Many vehicles have illegal registration plates. I've seen one vehicle several times with a plate that's hard to read because of the small size and the unusual font. If I've noticed it, how has the driver not been pulled up by the police? The highway code is very clear about what is acceptable for registration plates. We had this discussion a wee while ago. And what is the point is, there is an official Manx number plate, isn't there? The number plate. You know the one I'm talking about. So lots of people have UK-style plates. And somebody was talking, I think when this was mentioned, about the fact how easy it is to get a registration plate without presenting your vehicle documents, that you can go and get any plate. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, and it would be nice to find out. But if they enforce the whole thing of having the Manx number plate, then that will make ANPR a lot easier. So why is it? And of course, there are these dazzle plates, aren't they, that you can put on that ANPR can't read. Well, that's down in the future. We'll see what happens and we'll see who gets to park at the airport and who pays what. And Dewan's with us now. Hello, Dewan.
How's life treating you, Andy?
Well, put it this way. There's no problem with the UV index on the Isle of Man. The ultraviolet index isn't doing anybody any danger whatsoever at the moment.
So the chemists are not selling much Factor 50 at the moment, then.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, dear. I've had a little bit of a break for a few weeks, and, wow, there's so much been going on, hasn't there? Absolutely. You know, you've spoke a few times on here, Andy, and you've said, well, you know, every time we have governments in, it's been the worst one since the one before and all that. I think we can categorically say at the moment that the amount of people on the island, the majority of local people, have lost confidence in the government and the way that it's not listening to people. And I think that's becoming quite clear now that this government, more than any others, and probably the one before since COVID, is if some of these politicians now were to say to people, I'm going to give you a free Christmas present, they would want to know what's in it before they opened it. That's how lack of confidence people have got now with what's going on. Talking about just a few things that I've knitted down here. I had a, something sent to me the other day there, which was an article about the fracas with the BBC at the moment. And the opening words of the article was, when an organisation is insulated from competition, it invariably ends up serving its own needs, not those of its customers. That could be relevant to the Steam Packet, to Ronald's Way, to Manx Care and the DOI, in actual fact. You know, there's so much going on at the moment, and this is why I've always...
You just went quiet for a moment there, June. Are you there, Juan? We've lost Juan. It's international phone lines. We'll try and find Juan again. Let the public decide on the bishop's vote, says Soul Man. Just add a box to the next election papers. Bishop's vote, yes or no, job done. Well, we've talked about a referendum, haven't we? The net zero referendum, whether or not that should happen on the same day, as we've got all the election paraphernalia sorted out for that particular day. Should we have a referendum? Do you think getting rid of the bishop's vote will make it easier to bring in assisted dying legislation, says Texter 271. The public vote MHKs in to make decisions on their behalf in Tynwald. They're there to represent us. Surgeries allow voters to meet their MHKs to express disapproval or approval, says 475. In a fast-changing society, opinions can shift quickly and MHKs have to respond to that regardless of their manifestos. In fact, I would argue manifestos are a waste of time, says 475. Well, you've never stood for keys, have you? Everybody's right in their manifesto at the moment. I was in the public chamber a few years ago listening to a debate over a planning application. The previous bishop was leaving. Alorn MHKs and the Chief Minister thanked him for his help and contributions to their debate. So what's changed? It seems that a few people are wasting the Keys' time when there are critical decisions to be made for the future of the Isle of Man and for our children and our future. Wasting police time is an offence. Wasting political time should be an offence. How could the public object to stop the removal of the bishop's vote? There was no good reason for it to be taken away, says Fritzy. Just one MHK with a subjective idea and no justification. He won't be getting my vote, says Fritzy. And again, the issue about the airport, the issue with the airport lies with the interim director and the chief officer, says Andrea. When the director was employed, he allegedly didn't have the same qualifications that the previous director of airports had to work in air traffic control. His qualification is a military qualification, which I'm told doesn't carry over to commercial. It's a shame the chief officer of the DOI seems to hide away from these issues. She should be more proactive in sorting her department out. Well, that is true. The interim director, the previous, I think he still is head of air traffic control, has a military qualification and not a civilian qualification for air traffic control. So as the boss, he can't jump into the seat, as it were. I hope we don't end up with planes circling for long periods as before, says Texter 490. That has to be extremely dangerous as well as a waste of fuel. An aircraft should be up and down as quickly as possible, surely, says that correspondent. And I think we've got Juan back. Have we got Juan back? Hi, Juan.
Hey, Andy, can you hear me now?
Yes, have you put a shilling in the meter?
Yeah, put two in. Let's see how it goes. We're not doing so bad. I'm 4,000 miles away, so let's go. I don't know where I was up to there. Did you? I was reading an article from the Telegraph. Did we get that far?
Yeah, about how if something doesn't have competition, it's in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we could relate that to the Steam Packet and Ronald's Way and Manx Care and the DOI on that subject. But just moving on from that to it, and listening to Peter Murcott before, Peter's such an eloquent speaker. Love talking to Peter, love meeting with Peter and talking to him. And despite the argument about Christianity, this is an attack on the Western world that we're seeing at the moment to discredit Christianity. Whether people's views for it are right or wrong, but this is part of our structures, part of our heritage and part of our culture. There is an attack on this and we're getting involved in this. People like Laurie Hooper should be more mindful and stop bashing the bishop and getting on with the matters in hand that he's been elected for. Total waste of time. And as has been pointed out by Peter and many others, it's not relevant. There's no need to change this. It is an attack. It's a purposeful attack. And anyone that's looking at geopolitics around the world will see what's happening at the moment. I think we need to be insular, look after ourselves and look after our culture. Listening to the meeting the other night of Chris Robertshaw's at the Palace, and I've got to thank Frank Schnugel for putting the whole interview live on air so people could listen to it. There's a lot of business people here who are concerned about what's going on at the moment. That's quite obvious. And they've come together and come up with a few conclusions. I'm sure that it's been on the radio there now and people have listened to it. People like Brian Stolley and Davison, who were vocal at the meeting, were very clear about what's going on. This government is not listening. They're smiling and nodding and moving on. Michelle Hayward's the same. They have an agenda, what they're following, and it's not suitable for the bank's people. It's suiting someone, but it's not for us. Alex Allenson sat there smiling and nodding. It's a nodding dog situation. And Michelle Hayward, I'm sorry, but she's not suitable for that role. She's just not suitable for that role. The DOI itself is definitely too big and needs to be reorganised. There's no doubt about that. Julian's questions on the airport. Again, relevant questions, and avoided some of them. It's just not suitable at the moment, Andy. This government is not working for its people. Quite clearly not working for its people. I'm just repeating what we said before. More people are starting to wake up to this now. And we need people in there who are going to go in. We need the government called. The government is growing and growing and growing. The figures that they brought out at the meeting at the Palace the other night concluded what I've said for ages. This government is out of control and it's growing. It's far bigger than what's necessary for an 80,000 population.
Okay.
And we keep saying that we have people in there who are very, very well qualified. Well, why are we getting paying fortunes out for other people to come in and give us surveys if we've got people in there that we're spending taxpayers' money on? What are they doing?
Okay. All right. Julian. Thanks, Julian. Good to hear from you.
Take care, Andy. See you later.
17 minutes before one, counting down to the general election 2026, Thursday, 24th of September. 8 a.m., the polls open. 8 p.m., they close. We'll know on Friday, 25th of September, where we are. Are you thinking of standing? Do you think you can do any better?
Right, sure, Christmas ad. Take one.
This Christmas, if you get an unlimited plan with Shure, you'll get iPhone 17, Apple Watch, AirPods and iPad for only £47.50 a month. You'll also get £100 M&S voucher.
Sorry, I said like a commentator, not a Terminator.
Oh, make sure of your Christmas in store or online at Shure.com. T's and C's apply.
But this voice gets to the shopper.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic, Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Playing with crypto will make you rich, right? Look, a celebrity is posting about it on social media, so it's got to be safe. And now, oh, you're only a click away from a fortune. Go on. You've just been scammed. Online scams are everywhere. Fake crypto posts, wild claims, pressure to act fast. It's not a game. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. always verify the people trying to take your money. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend here on Manx Radio. And this weekend, we're giving you the chance to win a £100 fuel voucher to spend at any Ellen Van & Fuels outlet. Ellen Van & Fuels is your first port of call when you need to top up your car. They also offer a great shopping experience too. To win, all you need to do is listen out for our winning question, which we'll ask on air right across the weekend. And once you've heard it, text your answer to 166177. Make this your winning weekend with Ellen Van & Fuels and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
An interesting note in from Martin in Ramsey, and he said, Andy, the problems with the government, everybody slags off the government and the politicians, that this goes back a long way. This goes back, I would say, before the 2006 general election. It was when something called the Corporate Leadership Group was formed with senior civil servants, and the Corporate Leadership Group has had its hands on the levers of power for many, many years. The politicians may come and go, says Martin, but remember, senior civil servants stay for a long time. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind, Eddie?
I was listening to a comment that John from Ramsey made about when you were at Ramsey Grammar.
Yeah.
I think I pointed out before, you know, that a lot of these sixth form students haven't been allowed the other opinion on green. I've, up to now, and not just me, but because it concerned us in Aristana, I think I've been over this a few times, because it concerned us, we have studied it. I have a mountain of information here. If any one of those sixth form students wants to have a look at it, they're welcome. You can give them my telephone number and arrange your time to come, whatever. But the one thing that is happening is nobody is allowed to go in and show them the other side of this, because we all know 100% that wind turbines are not green. And yet it keeps getting emphasised they want a green future.
But they've got access to the same internet that everybody else has. So if they want to find out both sides are all over the internet.
Do you not think they've got enough on their mind with all the different subjects they're in at the time of their life? What I'm saying is we can actually point them straight to a lot of the things that are fact. I've got a lot of young offspring, whether they be my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and I'm thinking of their future. And that John that was on earlier, if he is concerned about the future for all his kids, then he should allow his kids to get both sides of the story, not just one side, because we know for a fact there are so many things that will kill the Isle of Man. It will literally kill the Isle of Man. If we swarm the sea with wind turbines and the land with wind turbines, the Isle of Man will no longer exist as the Isle of Man.
Why will it wreck it?
Well, we'll lose its biosphere, for one. We'll lose our fishing industry, for two. In fact, I've got 34 reasons why. It's just, we are a nature island. It is a beautiful island. I've told you my two hobbies. Both my hobbies will go out the window if you bring wind turbines in all over the place. How many times have I actually said, Andy, there's something going on with this government. They just can't listen. And every one of your other callers says the same thing. The government do not listen. There are so many alternatives, but they're not exploring a single one of them.
Okay. All right. Eddie, we've got to go because I've got some people queuing up, but we appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Andy.
Good. Thanks for your opinion today. Mike's with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Andy. I'm ringing up also because of the message you read out from John about the students wanting the green energy, etc., etc.
Yeah.
There was an article 2 days ago in the Telegraph, which I've got here, and Shell have an interest in two very large wind farms in the North Sea. They got 50% stake in both of them with Scottish Power. Right? Now, they have swapped 50% of one for full control of the other. Right? So Scottish Power has got all of one and Shell have got the other, which they, and they have now given the lease back to the Crown Estate in Scotland, because Shell are pivoting away from renewables, right? Now, the UK, according to this, currently has 14.8 gigawatts of energy, right? To have enough capacity by 2030, which is the English government's goal, they need 43 to 50 gigawatts. And they're going to try and get this by offering $1.1 billion in subsidies to people to build wind farms between now and 2031. It is the biggest con going. We've got Eerie Stain when they're quoting generation figures far in excess of anybody else in the world, and we're expected for them to produce the roads man enough to go to the site, massive foundations for these huge windmills. Lots of windmill farms around the world are being shut down early as being either worn out or not cost effective. It is the biggest con going.
Do you know where,
unfortunately,
where are wind farms being closed down?
America, New Zealand, Australia. I can't remember whether South Africa is or not. I think they're mainly relying on solar. And I do know people on Ireland who are from South Africa who've got friends still there, and they've had massive blackouts because even with the sunshine they get, they're not developing enough electricity to support the country.
So what do you say to people who say, Mike, that this is a, you know, we're going, it's a new industrial revolution. There will be hiccups along the way. We should just go with it and it will be okay in the end.
Well, it's been going on long enough now that we know that it's possibly a stopgap, but it is not the answer. All right? I've said to you before about the small wind farm near my parents, close to where I used to live in Oxfordshire, being paid for what they could generate, and most of the time, out of the five, you're lucky if three are working, because they have to break them. Because still, I've been on the island nearly 25 years, and the superstructure in the county still cannot take, if it's very windy, the amount of electricity it produces. Mm. It's also, I've said on here before, about the 2% that the UK contributes to the atmosphere, etc., of carbon and everything. And that's most people have been called 2% for the last few years now. I'm looking at the same sort of articles now, and a lot of people are saying it could be as little as 1%. And I come back to what I've said to you many times before, that if we was to manage to get to net zero, the world will not notice, and we've spent already £3.5 million on this farce, when we should be investing that money into maintaining and replacing the power stations we've got, which, as I said the other day, have been fired up to send electricity to England because England had run out of electricity because it was too still and too dull for the solar panels and the wind farms in England to provide enough power.
Okay. All right, Mike, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Port Erin commissioners are urging people to respond to the DOI's 20-mile-per-hour consultation. If you want to pick up copies of the consultation, it's at their office in Brightson Street, also at the George Herdman Library in the village. The local authority says it's going to be lodging its own response, but would like to hear from residents as to whether they're for or against, as well as any unique situations which may affect them. So, as I say, the copies of the consultation in Brightson Street at their offices, also at the George Herdman Library. Responses to the DOI have got to be submitted by the 22nd of December. That's around the Port Erin commissioners want to hear from you. Well, lots of comment today, including the problem at the airport is that the director has stopped payments to the air traffic controller trainers for in-house training. Is that so? Payments that were always made before. That's the issue. Also, questions should be asked about who employed the acting director as senior air traffic controller when he can't actually perform air traffic control duties in the past as they always could. Well, that's old news, but text to 411, we appreciate it. The road at Santon Railway Bridge is terrible. The camber throws you all over the place. Why can't they just resurface it with 50 mils of tarmac and level it up? The same as they did on the Prom years ago, which solved the problem there. The bridge could even be rebuilt using precast concrete, and it wouldn't take 9 months. A bit of common sense goes a long way, says Brian. Politicians and civil servants. Well, anyway, that's it. If you want to check the podcast, go to manxradio.com. It's very well patronised, and we appreciate all our podcast listeners. Thanks to you and Chris on the phones. WINT.